Have you seen the new PSA about the elderly man and the dog who faithfully follows him everywhere until, well, you just have to see it. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. But what about faithful dogs who suddenly bolt and won't even follow owners home? It turns out there's a switch that clicks off when dogs run off, and it's hard to switch back. Take Murphy, a young golden retriever who was on the loose in Vermont for a year and a half, two summers and the brutal winter of 2015, until 1 week ago. He had jumped out of a car after an accident. People spotted him but couldn't get him, despite pet detectives and psychics. It took an intrepid AP reporter to bring Murphy home. That reporter is Wilson Ring. He's in Montpelier. Wilson, start by telling us, what were people doing to find Murphy?
Sure. Long before I got involved with trying to capture Murphy, the owner, he and his wife would go sit out in the woods near where he'd been seen, just sitting in chairs and hoping that he would get out of his nervous mode and come up to them. And they did this over the course of the summer and then even into the fall of 2014.
This is Ed and Pat Hamill of Morrissey. We're reading that they spent nights in an overturned canoe and that Ed had a bazooka-style kind of net gun that he was going to shoot.
That was a little later in the process, but yes. He got under the canoe, and then he had a net gun that was designed to spread out and go over Murphy. And I believe Murphy was hit by it a couple times, but it never went over him, and he never captured him. And he hit Murphy in the butt with the net, and Murphy just sort of looked at it and then walked over and continued eating the food that had been left out at him.
Other people were putting out squeak toys that he liked and blankets sprayed with Pat, Ed's wife, Pat's perfume, but that didn't work. They brought in a pet detective, pet psychics, and there are online forums there. This is Vermont, so there was, like, the front porch forum, so people were talking about this.
Oh, that's how Murphy became the heart, the darling of the community, if you will. People were posting their sightings every day, and last winter especially, he would move all around town. We were really worried about him because he was crossing a really busy highway, and people would report their sightings every day, and it was good to know where he was, but on the other hand, everyone was really nervous that he was going to run out of luck crossing that busy highway.
Well, they could tell where he was going, too, because he lit up those motion-activated backyard game cameras. You know, people have them up in Vermont. They could see him at construction sites. I guess he was hanging out at Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah, he was seen at the main factory of Ben & Jerry's a few times. Last winter, there was a hotel under construction that has since opened, and he was seen there regularly. And that was a couple of miles from where I live, where he eventually settled.
And let's talk about what was happening to him. There's an animal control officer, this is Erica Holm, who's quoted as saying that this can happen to animals. The crash did something to trigger a survival mode in him.
Yeah, we had that discussion a lot when we were trying to figure out Murphy because we were concerned of what is he going to be like if we catch him, and at that point it was if we catch him.
Right.
And there were some who feared that he would remain essentially a wild dog and feral, but no, Erica said that that behavior is quite common in dogs. When some sort of survival mode clicks in their mind and they don't recognize the people who love them and the people that they loved before all this happened.
Yeah.
Once you catch them and they're out of that need, the switch clicks off.
This is so worth knowing for people whose dogs have gone on the run. Okay, so as you said, everybody is seeing Murphy, but you, until one day you did.
One day it was the end of November, early December in 2014, and I looked out my back window, and there was a golden retriever sitting at the edge of the field, and I immediately knew it was Murphy. Mm. So I grabbed a bucket, and I put some food in it, and I took it out, and he had disappeared after a minute, but I took the food out and put it where he had been standing, and I went back a half an hour later, and the food was gone. And from then, it was like the hunt was on. I got in contact with Ed, who is a wonderful guy. And over time, we moved the bucket closer to my house. And then Ed made the trap that ended up catching him. And eventually, well, it took about a month before we put the trap out. And then we tried to get Murphy comfortable going into it before we would set it, because we didn't want it to go off and then hit him.
Yeah. I'm seeing a picture of it. We'll post it. It looks like a big chicken coop. It's got chicken wiring on the sides, and it's constructed out of wood.
Yeah, and the challenge when we first got it was, how do you trigger it? And the mechanical trigger it had was it just didn't work very well. Murphy, who was really cautious about everything, if anything was even slightly different, he wouldn't go near it. And he had to go into the trap, and then he had to step on this big plate that was sticking up off the ground. Mm-hmm. And he had to step on that, and it would pull a string, and then the string would pull out a pin, which would make the door drop. Oh, and boy. He just didn't like that step at first. Although we did catch him once. This was the most, for me, and I think for everyone involved, actually, the absolutely most frustrating part. One day in the middle of February last year, he went into this trap, and we caught him. And he chewed his way through the wire and got out in less than 20 minutes. And people don't believe it when I tell them that, but we do have it on video of him chewing his way through the wire and escaping.
Unbelievable.
And it was unbelievable. At the time, it was, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? It's worse than starting over because he was afraid of the thing. And that was in the middle of February, and now it was 11 months before we finally got him back into it and caught him.
Well, but first, a feed store had to donate better wire. A butcher contributed some overripe prime rib to put out for him. The company Vermont Raw that has sustainable pet food, they donated some. And then you brought in this, instead of that plate that you were talking about, an electric eye sensor.
Yes, and that's what ultimately did the trick, because he didn't have to step on anything. He just had to go in far enough. What that one did, there was a battery-operated electric eye, and the gate was held open with an electromagnet. And when anything would cross the beam, the magnet would disconnect and the gate would fall. And that is eventually what caught him. And the prime rib you talk about, that was key when that came out last winter, because that we got that when the temperature was going to 25 below every night, and we were really concerned about Murphy. At that point, we wanted to make sure he got more food rather than catching him. So we gave him that prime rib, and boy, he ate that up in a hurry. And I think it did a lot to keep him going.
Right. Boy, Wilson Ring, this was not your dog.
No, it was not. No, it was not my dog. If you would have told me when I first saw him that it was going to take us 13 months to catch him, I don't know what I would have done. But it's one of those things, once you start, you can't stop until the situation is resolved. I mean, I think in the back of all of our minds, we were worried he was going to get hit by a car or who knows what, mm-hmm. or just disappear. And as long as he kept coming, which fortunately he did, we just kept after him. And it had the happy ending we were all after.
Well, because explain, you know, people are thinking, oh, do we have a feral animal now? What's happened? But as soon as, you know, a couple minutes after he saw his owners, what?
Well, that was the thing. When I went out to the trap, it was late one Saturday night, and I was just checking the trap before going to bed. And so I shined a powerful flashlight on it, and I could see that he was in it. And it was like, oh, my goodness, we finally got him. Mm-hmm. But when I got out to the trap a couple of minutes later, I was a little concerned about what his reaction was going to be to me. I mean, I'd called Ed at this point and told him we had him, and he was on his way, but I was the first one there. And he didn't know me at all. And he saw me, and then you could tell he was a little nervous, but he walked up to the other side of the wire in the cage and let me stick my hand in and pet him. Mm. And it was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and just stay with that feeling. Again, he's not your dog.
No, he's not my dog, but, you know, he'd become a part of my life, whether I wanted to or not. And I was committed to his capture, and so I have to say, just being able to call Ed that night and tell him that, hey, we got him, I look back on that and I think, wow, that was really a special thing to be able to do.
Well, and when Ed and his wife came over, Murphy licked their hands and jumped right in the car as if nothing had happened. And we know you had a chance to visit them recently. Is he back at the Hamels and he's there? Golden.
He is. He's back at the Hamels. He came up and, you know, he saw us in his house, in his kitchen, and he kind of said hello. And then he went back and laid under the kitchen table and just sort of ignored us like dogs will do.
Like, what's the matter with everyone? but it's true. I mean, it's,
yes.
I think it's worth people hearing that this is something that happens to dogs and it's as quickly over once they see their owners again. Well, Wilson Ring, AP reporter based in Montpelier, Vermont, on behalf of Dog Lovers Everywhere, thank you for interceding.
Okay. Oh, thank you for your interest in Murphy. It's a wonderful story.
And we do hope it was helpful for people whose dogs bolt. We're talking to you, Peter O'Dowd.